In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We are doing this evening of recollection in the first week of Lent, a time of conversion, time of greater desire, greater renewal of our desire for holiness. Therefore, Lord, we turn to you and we ask for your grace, as we always do when we begin our prayer, our moment of meditation. It's always we try to do a moment of prayer in your presence. It's the priest speaking, giving some ideas, but always those are just words, just some ideas, some words of scripture, some words of some other, maybe the catechism like today, maybe some anecdote, which may give us ideas for our personal dialogue with God. But really the most important thing is our personal conversation. We try to develop a personal dialogue, personal meeting with you, Jesus Christ, who are with us in the Blessed Sacrament. And you are with us wherever we are. You are present in the whole creation, and we are able to approach you in the silence of our hearts by raising our hearts and mind to you. That is prayer. And even as we are listening to the priest speaking and giving a meditation, we try to raise our heart and mind to you. That's the most important thing. What a marvelous thing to us creatures, human beings, limited creatures, made in the image and likeness of God, we're able to have a conversation, an encounter, a meeting with God, God Almighty, the infinite creator of everything. Lord, you it is who hold everything in being, even as we speak, even as I speak here. It's an amazing thing. And we're able to turn to you and speak to you. And we have the confidence, thanks to our faith, that you hear us and that you listen. You listen to us and you're interested. You're interested in what happens to us, what's in our heart, what's in our mind, our worries, our concerns, our joys, our sufferings, our dreams, our hopes. Everything is of interest. Everything is of concern to you. What a marvelous reality it is. Therefore, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this faith that we have received through the Church. We have received it from you. Well, the topic for our evening of recollection, for the meditation, is personal sanctity and mortification. Two topics which we will combine a little bit, and they go very well together in this period of Lent. Personal sanctity, it is the goal, the objective, what we try to aim for. And mortification or ascetical life, self-denial or fasting, different ways of speaking about the same reality, that is part of the way. It's not the whole way, because there are also prayer, there's the sacraments. But in this time of Lent, in this strong period in the liturgical year, it's a special emphasis on mortification, self-denial, as a way of opening us to your grace. Coming closer to you through denying ourselves some comforts. But let's first focus on the goal, personal sanctity. It's beautiful. We take the gospel according to Mark, for example. We could find similar ideas in all the gospels, but we can take St. Mark's gospel, which begins with that simple summary, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It cites the words of Isaiah the prophet, describing John the Baptist, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way." And then after describing John the Baptist, Jesus appears on the scene and he's baptized in River Jordan. And after being baptized, he rises from the waters. He saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." This is then the main topic of our prayer, baptism, but let's come back to it for a moment, because our call to holiness has a special connection with baptism. The Church says that all the baptized are in a very real way called to personal holiness, personal sanctity. The basis of our call to holiness is not just our kind of some vain dream, some mad idea that we might have. It's the initiative of God. Lord, you come as God the Father, you take us, you adopt us as your sons and daughters, unite us to Christ, your Son, and you pour into us the gift of the Holy Spirit. You make us temples of the Holy Spirit. You give us that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that presence of the Holy Spirit in our soul, it's an immaterial presence, therefore it's not a question of emotions, it's a question of a spiritual presence. It's what makes it possible for us to live a supernatural life, a life that is completely human, but at the same time divine. As we do our most ordinary earthly activities, our study, our waking up in the morning, our work, preparing the table, playing tennis, and driving a car, whatever we do, whatever that is morally upright, we can do it in God's presence, offer it to God, and it becomes something that is sanctified and sanctifying. And just after these words, then comes the description of Jesus being sent into the wilderness. The Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. The other Gospels, Matthew and Luke, they describe those temptations of Jesus. St. Mark doesn't go into those details, but we have the same idea. Jesus denying himself, a model for our period of Lent, these 40 days of self-denial as a preparation for Easter. Call to holiness. I wanted to take some words from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which describes very beautifully this call to holiness. Lord, this is something that we have heard many times, probably, especially if we go to meditations and circles in Opus Dei. This is a frequent theme because it's at the heart of the emphasis or message of Opus Dei, that everyone, all Christians, regardless of their state in life, regardless of their specific vocation, are essentially called to holiness, a union with God. And that union is an anticipation of that eternal union and blessedness with God in heaven, in eternal life. There's a section in the Catechism that describes this, and I wanted to cite this first because they're beautiful words, and secondly because they highlight that this is not some idea, some special idea, some, you know, random idea, that Opus Dei talks about this and some other organization talks about something else. No, this is universal teaching of the Catholic Church. It's in the third part of the Catechism. It's called Life in Christ. It's the section on morals, kind of the Christian living. And this highlights the fact that Christian living and morals, it's not just a collection of rules, you know, we have to fulfill these rules and then we're, you know, we're set, we're all done. The goal of Christian living is holiness, personal sanctity. There's a quotation here, first from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, it runs as follows. We know that in everything God works for good with those who love him. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, we could spend a whole meditation going a bit deeper into these different words, predestined, called, justified, glorified. Because there is some, you know, confusion in the history of theology concerning this terminology, and they are not words that are easy to define. But we can simply take them very briefly in that sense, that God who calls us, it is initiative of God. It is, Lord, your great plan. You have created us for this purpose. You made all men, the whole of humanity, in your image and likeness. And therefore we become truly man, in the sense of truly human beings, fully human beings, only when we seek to conform to that image and likeness which has been given us perfectly in Christ. We cannot be fully human without seeking holiness. We cannot be fully human without seeking to be also divine. How? With God's grace. Lord, with your grace. And just as you have predestined us in Christ, in you, Lord, it's your initiative. Well, just as you have done that, you have also given us the whole path. You have given us justification in your cross, in your death and your blood, and union with your glory. And that is ultimately holiness. And so the Catechism continues. This is number 2013. All Christians in any state or walk of life are called to the fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of charity. All Christians in any state or walk in life are called to the fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of charity. These are from the Second Vatican Council, 70 years ago, roughly. Lumen Gentium, Dogmatic Constitution on the Church. It highlights the fact all members of the Church, all Christians, all the baptized, and of course, all non-baptized are also ultimately called to this. But the call becomes operative and fully active as a result of baptism. All are called to holiness. The Catechism continues. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now here we find the challenge. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. We remember these are words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew chapter 5, at the very end of that chapter. It's that section in the Sermon on the Mount in which Jesus explains the fullness of the law. He says, I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them, to give them fullness, to bring them to perfection. And towards the end of that section, these are very, very topical words, and Jesus says, you have heard it said that you shall pray for your friends, or what's the word then? It's not friends, something similar. And you shall hate your enemy. But Jesus says, no, you shall also pray for your enemies. You shall also love your enemies and pray for them, because that is how you become even more like your Father in heaven, because he does good to the good and the evil. He does good to everyone. He gives life, the gift of life. He tries to give his grace to everyone. Well, Lord, what so important words in our time. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Of course, we immediately realize that, well, I cannot be perfect on my own. And it becomes obvious to me when I think about these words that holiness is something much more than trying to fulfill a set of rules and regulations. I can try to do that on my own. Maybe I will not be successful always, but I might fool myself into thinking that this is more or less enough. But if you set the, if the model is, Lord, your perfection, it means something deeper. Holiness is grace. Holiness is a gift. Holiness is, Lord, being in you and allowing you to be in me, in us. It's union, dialogue, prayer, sacraments. In fact, if we would continue reading the Gospel of Mark, it's striking to think about all those people who meet you, Lord Jesus, because there's the fisherman whom you call, there's the possessed person, a man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue, there's a whole number of people with unclean spirits and many who are possessed by demons, there's the leper whom you clean. If you will, you can make me clean, he says, kneeling before you, Jesus, and so on. So many people who are weak and ill, sick, in need of your grace. What a great reminder for us, Jesus. We also need your grace. We are not better than others. Being Christians or being Catholic, whatever, being members of Opus Dei, whatever is our specific vocation and situation, we are not better than others. We try to be, we try to convert, we try to turn to you, but we are not better than others. We need your grace just as much as everyone else. And that's why we turn to you. That's why we're here. That's why we are praying. That's why we frequent the sacraments, because we need you. And in fact, holiness is very much about humility. St. Augustine has those famous words, if you want to be holy, be humble, become humble. If you want to be more holy, become more humble. If you want to be very holy, be very humble. We might say, if you want to become very holy, become very humble. Humble not in the sense of someone who says, oh, I'm nothing, you know, therefore I cannot seek personal sanctity. Rather humble in the sense that, Lord, I depend on you in everything. My life depends on you. My life is a gift that I receive from you continually. It's not something that I possess. It's something that I receive from one moment to another. And the supernatural life in my soul, I receive it from you, from one moment to another. Lord, how good you are, because you give me this gift. Let's come back to the Catechism, a few more words which describe specifically that take us more to the theme of mortification. The Catechism says, section 2014, spiritual progress tends towards ever more intimate union with Christ. This union is called mystical because it participates in the mystery of Christ through the sacraments, the holy mysteries, and in him, in the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Now, let's briefly unpack this a little bit, because what does it mean that we, through the sacraments, we participate in a union with the mystery of the Holy Trinity? Well, it's something that we considered in the beginning, you know, that we have been made through baptism and also confirmation, we have been made children of the same Father, adopted, but really children of God the Father, friends and brothers and sisters of Christ, the Son, and temples of the Holy Spirit, places of indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we have a specific relationship with the Holy Trinity, the entire Holy Trinity. And the Catechism continues, God calls us all to this intimate union with Him, even if the special graces or extraordinary signs of this mystical life are granted only to some, for the sake of manifesting the gratuitous gift given to all. And then, the way of perfection passes by way of the cross. There is no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle. Spiritual progress entails the ascesis and mortification that gradually lead to living in peace and joy of the Beatitudes. The peace and joy of the Beatitudes. Spiritual progress is very much about an ascetical life and spirit of mortification. And this is why the call gives us that period of Lent to make us emphasize this, to focus a little bit for a couple of weeks in preparation for Easter, focus on this ascetical life, a life of self-denial. Now, we might take a number of different texts to highlight this, to, for example, in the Bible, in the Gospels, in the Old Testament, in the letters of St. Paul. It's really all over the place, in many different ways, in Galatians chapter 5 in particular, Romans chapter 8, in many different moments of the words of Christ. Jesus says that if anyone wants to follow me, anyone wants to be my disciple, he must renounce himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Follow me, Jesus, where? Well, your way was as one of self-denial and cross. But the cross is not the last word, it's the passage. Passage to the resurrection, supernatural life, fullness of your glory. So therefore we want to follow you. And we want to pause a little bit in this moment of prayer and recollection to think about, well, how do we do this in practice? How am I, Lord, putting into practice this call? This call to holiness, to what extent have I received it completely to my heart? Do I take it seriously? I have probably heard it before, but I might sometimes be discouraged and say, well, it's a theoretical ideal, but you know, in practice, how could I pursue this ideal because I am so imperfect, I'm so full of weaknesses? Well, that's the moment of humility and turning even more, becoming even more conscious of the fact that holiness is grace, holiness is humility, holiness is union. Holiness is not that I become, you know, perfect on my own, that I do everything perfectly. It's trusting God more and more, trusting myself less and less. But it is also converting, turning to God, and allowing no excuses to myself. Saying, okay, what can I do? Thereby, Lord, I convert again. And then, how do I put into practice this call to spiritual progress and ascetical life, a spirit of mortification? I wanted to just highlight, we don't have much time, but we have to finish in a moment, highlight the fact that this is something we need to renew many times in our life, really many, many times, because we have a tendency to comfort seeking, they have a tendency to a certain easy life. Maybe there's someone who doesn't have the tendency, but I think most of us, we do. And it's just, you know, it's the natural weight, you know, it's just like you, you know, none of us begins to, you know, float towards the heavens on their own. No, if someone doesn't lift, we stay firmly on the ground because that's where gravity pulls us. Well, there's a certain natural gravity that pulls us towards comfort and, you know, seeking external pleasures and so on. And we need to make a conscious effort to resist that pull and a contrary movement towards the spiritual things, supernatural things, and God and charity. There's an anecdote that can help us to, you know, highlight this. It's a bit comical, but I find it helpful myself. It's something that I heard some time ago about a Spaniard who went to United States. He had been born, many, many decades ago, and he grew up in the Spain of after the Spanish Civil War, which was in the 1930s, and he grew up in a rather, you know, poor Spain, which was very, very modest in many ways, and so he went some decades ago. He went to United States for some summer course. I suppose he was an Opus Dei member who had one of these so-called annual courses there. And United States, you know, everything is big, everything is great, everything is amazing. And they went on an excursion, and he had never been to McDonald's. He had never eaten hamburgers, actually, you can imagine. And they didn't plan to go to McDonald's, but they went on an excursion and they became very thirsty. And the American member of the excursion said, well, why don't we go there and buy some soda, you know, some lemonade. And they went inside, and the first thing they saw was an American young man who ordered 12 hamburgers. 12 hamburgers. I don't know how big they was, but even if they were just, you know, the cheeseburgers, then it's pretty amazing. And then this wonderful, wholesome American youngster started eating them one after another, like boom, boom, like, you know, candies or some tablets, you know, one, two, four, wow. And this poor Spaniard was looking with his eyes wide open, like, whoa, what is going on? Like, what is this? And apparently, then after finishing 9 of the hamburgers, this youngster, he got up, carried the 3 hamburgers, and as he was walking, he kept finishing all of them, like, just, you know, one after another. Now, what's the lesson? Well, I don't know if there's a clear lesson here. You know, it's an extreme example, but it tells something about, you know, our time, that we are not like that. We don't eat 12 hamburgers. But we shouldn't, at the same time, we shouldn't say to ourselves, oh, I only eat 6 hamburgers when I go to a McDonald's, therefore I have no problem, you know. it shows that we live in a time of abundance, you know. Everything is so plentiful, and it's very easy to live very comfortably. But we don't want to be, you know, pulled by that atmosphere. We don't want to live in an atmosphere in which everything is, you know, this thing that is pleasant, that thing that is pleasant. Oh, I feel like having ice cream, I'm gonna buy an ice cream. I feel like having, so, you know. And it concerns the external senses, you know, the taste, you know, the things we look, you know. And I want to see, you know, it might be intellectual things, news, curiosity. You know, we often talk about the mobile phone in our meditations, and it's such another example. You know, everything is available, almost everything. You know, you want to know just anything, it's immediately you can check it. And you want to see a movie, you can immediately see it. And good things, those are good things in themselves. Hamburgers, you know, maybe not so healthy, but nevertheless, nutrition, It's not a bad thing in itself. But Lord, we want to be, you know, with a different focus in life. And that requires that we sometimes say no to those comforts. Similarly with the internal senses, our imagination, our memory, that we don't allow them to be, you know, all over the place, but we say no to many things, not just because some things of the imagination are bad, but because we want to be men and women of prayer, contemplative souls, that we have this ability to turn everything into prayer, everything into something that we can sanctify and that sanctifies us, that draws us closer to God. Well, it's already time to finish our prayer. Let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to guide us, to help us in this way that leads to Christ, leads to closer union with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I give you thanks to my God for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.